Calvino, The Barn and the Trees. The olive trees, because of the way they twist, are for Cosimo comfortable and gentle paths, patient and friendly trees with their rough bark to pass through and to stop in, although each tree has only a few large branches and there is not a great variety of movements. In a fig, on the other hand, if you pay attention to whether it will hold your weight, there is no end of turnings. Cosimo sits under the pavilion of leaves. He sees the sun shining through their veins, the green fruit slowly swelling. He smells the latex oozing in the neck of the stems. The fig makes you its own, saturates you with its sticky liquid, with the buzzing of the wasps. After a while, it seemed to Cosimo that he was becoming a fig himself, and growing uneasy, he left. The hard service tree and the mulberry are comfortable, too bad they're rare. Similarly, the walnuts, because sometimes seeing my brother get lost in an enormous old walnut tree, as in a palace of many stories and innumerable rooms, even I, which says it all, felt a desire to imitate him, to go up and live there. So great is the strength and the certainty that that tree puts into being a tree. The insistence on being heavy and hard, expressed even in the leaves. Cosimo would sit happily among the undulate leaves of the home oaks, or holly oaks as I called them, at least if they were in our parks, perhaps influenced by the refined language of our father, and he loved the cracked surface of their bark. When he was lost in thought, he would scrape up bits with his fingers, not from an instinct to do harm, but as if to help the tree in its long labour of remaking itself. Or he would peel off the white bark of the plane trees, discovering layers of mouldy old gold. He also loved rusticated trunks, like the elms, whose knots sprout tender shoots and clumps of serrated leaves and papery samaras. But it's hard to climb in an elm, because the branches go up, slender and leafy, leaving little room for passage. In the woods, he preferred beeches and oaks, because in a pine tree, the dense scaffolding of branches, which aren't strong and are thickly needled, offers no space or handhold, and the chestnut, with its prickly leaves, spines, bark, and high branches, seems made purposely to keep one away. These friendships and distinctions Cosimo recognised gradually, over time, or rather he recognised that he knew them. But already in those early days they began to be part of him, a natural instinct. Now it was the world that was different, made of narrow, curving bridges into emptiness, of knots or scales or furrows that made the bark rough, of light whose green varies according to whether the curtain of leaves is thick or thin, trembling at the first breath of air on the stems, or moving like sails as the tree bends. While ours, our world, was flattened out in the background, and our figures disproportionate, and certainly we didn't understand anything about what we knew up there. He who spent the nights listening to how the wood packs with its cells, the circuits inside the trunks that mark the years, and how the patches of mould spread in the north wind, and how with a shudder the birds sleeping in their nests tuck their heads in where the wing feathers are softer, and the caterpillar wakes, and the shrike's egg hatches. There's a moment when the silence of the countryside is distilled, and the ear cavity to a fine spray of sounds, a scratching, a squeal, a rapid rustling in the grass, a plop in the water, a pattering between earth and rocks, and the cicada's screech high above all. The sounds contend with one another. Hearing is able to constantly discern new ones, just as to fingers unwinding a ball of yarn, every strand proves to be woven of even finer and more insubstantial threads. Meanwhile, the frogs continue their croaking, which remains in the background and doesn't change the flow of sounds, just as the light doesn't vary with the continuous winking of the stars. Yet whenever the wind rose or swept through, every sound changed and was new. Only the hint of a lowing or murmur remained. In the deepest cavity of the ear, it was the sea.